Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way
to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven? Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Good morning. Another Wednesday. Another Wednesday with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. She is a marriage and family therapist registered intern working to get her license for counseling. You're getting your license.
I'm going for two licensures. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going for marriage and family therapist and also licensed professional clinical counselor.
And she does see clients, as do other people over at The Growing Place. If you're interested, we'll be giving out the phone number momentarily. But we've been focusing in the last few weeks, in fact, this is, I think, our fourth week now, on people who harm themselves. And brief recap, mostly a certain demographic, younger age group from adolescent. Well, remind me the stats real quickly.
It's adolescents through college-aged individuals. 14 to 38% of that population are harming themselves, and those are the reported cases.
And mostly girls.
Yeah, 2 to 1. Twice as many females as males are self-harming. And again, that may also have to do with reporting. Maybe the males aren't reporting.
Okay, interesting. Okay, and we were talking about different ways to treat people who harm themselves, and it depends. What you were telling me, if I remember from last week, was the reason they do it requires different types of methods. And let's briefly recap somebody
Absolutely.
Who harms themselves for certain reasons. And I think there's various reasons why somebody would harm themselves.
There are 4 documented reasons why people self-harm. And the interventions I gave last week have to do with something that the self-harming individual can do.
Mm-hmm.
So if a person is self-harming to soothe or calm herself or himself, there are other ways to soothe and calm oneself, like deep breathing, stretching, massage, a long bath or shower, soothing music, cuddling with a pet, things like that. If a person is self-harming to express intense emotion, especially pain, you can express in a journal, you can write a poem or a song, you can create art, like designs with multicolored pencils. You can listen to music that expresses what you're feeling, or you can watch a movie or read a book that expresses what you're feeling, which I think is why most people read for fun or go to the movies, is they are vicariously living out their own emotions through the characters. If somebody is self-harming to vent anger or release tension, you can punch or scream into a pillow, cushion, or mattress, do vigorous exercise, jumping, running, dancing. Squeeze a stress ball. I recommend this for my clients who are anxious. It really helps soothe. Rip up papers or magazines, or bang on pots, pans, drums, or play a musical instrument. And finally, if a person is self-harming because they feel numb or disconnected, then we need to find healthy ways to connect besides pain. So connect with a friend, but don't focus on the self-harm. Talk about other things. Squeeze an ice cube in the crook of your arm or leg. That'll get you connected. Take a cold shower. That'll get you connected. Eat something with a very strong flavor, like hot peppers or citrus. And then just reach out to somebody in a support group or online.
It sounds like these are the kind of things that you should be doing even if you're not self-harming. I mean, if you're feeling these emotions, you don't have to go to the extreme of saying, I have to self-harm before I could do some of these things.
That's an excellent point. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Okay, so we've been talking about ways in which we cope, and I think we want to finish up the subject today.
I thought that I could speak to the person who has not yet seen a therapist and maybe has not even confessed to anybody. What he or she is doing, what to do when the urge to self-harm strikes. Besides all those coping skills that I just went over, a person can just, instead of using a razor blade or a knife, mm-hmm. can just take a felt tip marker mm-hmm. and mark where you would normally cut or burn mm-hmm. or draw designs on their skin. Or you can rub an ice cube across your skin.
Hmm.
So you're kind of like breaking yourself of the habit by degrees.
It reminds me a little bit of people who are trying to get off cigarette smoking. Sometimes
yes.
they will wean themselves off it as opposed to trying to do it cold turkey. And I think it's worth mentioning again, because I found this the most fascinating part of everything we've discussed, is that there is a chemical reaction that people have when they harm themselves. They get
yes.
they get kind of a high because of the natural.
The body's release of endorphins in the brain and the central nervous system.
Thank you. I could never get
hormone.
That out.
Yeah.
It creates a high.
Yes.
So the way to get that high is to harm themselves, which makes your body naturally react and provide
yes.
a natural high to compensate for that pain. And then that gives that creates a thrill or an excitement. And that's why people do it.
That's one reason. And the thing, like with any addiction, is your body builds up tolerance. So the danger of that is in the beginning, it might just take a pinprick.
Mm-hmm.
But as your body builds up tolerance, you have to go to more and more extreme pain behaviors before that release happens.
It is almost like a drug or a sex addiction or any other type of
exactly.
addiction, where you start off with something this and you have to go more extreme and more extreme and more extreme to get that high.
Exactly right.
Interesting.
Exactly right. So, and there's another thing one can do when the urge to self-harm strikes, which is to wear a rubber band on the wrists or arms or ankles and just snap them. Just snap the rubber band. And
mm-hmm.
not hard, you know, you're not leaving a mark. It's not getting swollen. But it just kind of brings you to yourself. There's that jolt you're looking for.
Okay, we're talking to Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place about self-harm, ways in which apparently a much greater percentage of people self-harm themselves than we realize, and ways to cope with that. If you have any issues that you want to discuss with anybody, you know, addictive issues, family issues, The Growing Place is a place that we recommend, and we want to give their phone number out. Give them a call at 588-0448 for confidential help. 588-0448. We'll be right back with Gidi after this break.
This is Live Local Talk.
Okay, welcome back. Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, talking about self-harm, people hurt themselves, and why they do it. We've been discussing it for 4 weeks. No need to recap everything we've discussed, but we're going to talk about when you should get help. I mean, when does it get, and I think we've talked a little bit about this, when it, I think what she's going to say is when it interferes with your life substantially, because we all have issues, but not every issue that we have requires us to go to the extreme measure of going to a counselor. So when does somebody go and say, okay, this is the time I need to see Gidi or somebody else or at The Growing Place?
Well, you've said it beautifully, Jerry. Mm-hmm. When it's interfering with your life, you know it's time. And if your attempts to change the self-harm behavior are not working,
mm-hmm.
you've tried some of the things that we've talked about, it may be time to see a professional counselor.
Mm-hmm.
The self-harm could be connected to trauma or childhood issues, which need to be resolved. A person may be trying to deal with flashbacks, unwanted thoughts, intrusive memories, or other negative feelings. A person may be suffering from PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody feels, for instance, let's say a young lady was raped continually by a family member, and now just feels like lower than dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And the self-harm reinforces that feeling. It can be a very complicated issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes in fact, all the time, the self-harm is just the surface symptom. It's not really the problem. The problem is something much deeper. But some people can deal with the surface symptom and go on, but others can't.
Okay.
And so that's when you know it's time to see a professional. And then you want to choose a therapist who respects you. You know, some therapists have a knee-jerk reaction against self-harm.
Really?
Yeah, it's a shocking thing. I mean, when we first started talking about it, you know, you felt kind of shocked.
I was kind of stunned by it.
It is a stunning thing.
I was stunned by the percentage of people that do it.
Yeah.
Incidentally, I don't want to lose this train of thought. We had somebody in our studio who asked a question, and I thought it was a relevant one, which was, would you allow somebody who was a babysitter to take you, who had this kind of issue, and you knew that, to take care of your kids? Because you make the point that it's not suicidal.
No, it's not a suicide attempt.
It's not a suicide attempt. There's no desire to end their lives or necessarily end the lives of anybody else.
Right.
But I have to be honest. I would, you know, if I had a younger kids and I needed a babysitter, I would be not just reluctant. I would be adamant that that person is not going to take care of my kids. Is that fair?
I think it's fair. And I think it's you know, it's up to us as individuals and as parents to decide, you know, who do we feel comfortable with babysitting our children? Mm-hmm. That's the real issue, whether it has to do with self-harm or anything else. Who do we want as a role model? Self-harm is a way of advertising, you know, I have issues. Mm-hmm. I have unresolved issues. Now, we all have them.
Right.
We all have them. But, you know, as a mother, I always looked very closely at who I entrusted my child to. Mm-hmm. So that's an individual decision, but the decision you stated is very viable.
Nevertheless, having said that, that does not mean that we should put these people in sort of an area where we say we're not going to have any communication with them whatsoever. Because I guess I think you were speaking as a Christian.
Yes.
In that case, we should just lock ourselves up in a cell somewhere and not talk to anybody.
And wait for the Lord's return.
Right.
And then we're not going to be any good to God or our neighbor or ourselves. So no, definitely, if someone who's listening knows an individual who's self-harming, reach out to that person.
Uh-huh.
Show that person the love of God. Show them alternatives. Perhaps you've been listening for the last few weeks, and if you haven't, these shows are always available as podcasts on the Growing Place website, which is www.tgplace.org.
Mm-hmm.
www.t as in the, p as in place, g as in, no, hold it, TG Place, right?
TG, Growing Place.
Thegrowingplace.org. I don't know how I just said it, but it's the...
Say it again.
It's thetggrowingplace.org.
www.tgplace.com.
That's incorrect.
.org.
It should be .org.
We're going to get this right.
But either one will get you there. Either one you put in will
And
get
the
you there.
Best part about it is that if you have any stupid questions that you're wondering about, don't worry. I ask them all. So you'll be able to listen to them over and over again and say, but that was a stupid question, but that was probably a question you may have had. So that's sort of, that's the beauty of it. And there's a lot you could learn about various issues, not just
We've talked about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn. And you do give great advice. Let's finish up this. We only have about another few more minutes left. We have the end of this segment, one more segment to finish up on people who harm themselves.
Yes, and also I want to speak to how to choose the right therapist.
Mm-hmm.
You want to choose a therapist who respects you, who cares about your well-being, and who holds you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can choose a real mushy therapist who respects you and loves you and, you know, all of that, but then never holds you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. That's just enabling somebody's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So your therapist should help you to feel safe enough to face the hard issues.
Right.
And if you feel disrespected or misunderstood, just find a different therapist. And if your therapist does not care enough to hold you accountable, find a different therapist.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and we'll wrap up our discussion on people who harm themselves with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. You can log on to their website at tgplace.org or give a call at 588-0448. We'll be back.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right. Gidi Hansen, The Growing Place, is my guest. She is on every Wednesday talking about various issues that counselors deal with and how we might be able to help people help themselves before they go to a counselor, how you know when you should go to a counselor. And when it pertains to people who harm themselves, instead of going necessarily going to a counselor, maybe you're at the early stages, that there's a way that which family members can help somebody so that maybe they don't have to necessarily go to it. Because sometimes we always think, well, we got to go to a counselor. Maybe you could take care of this in the early stages yourself.
And even if someone is going to a counselor, they need this kind of support system somewhere, either at home or among their peers. And so, first of all, if someone who is self-harming reaches out to you, or you notice someone self-harming and you want to reach out to that person, first process your own feelings about self-harm without involving that other person. So, you know, for instance, if I'm disgusted with it, if I'm afraid, if I'm angry, whatever I am, I need to take that to God. Or if I'm not a faith-based person, I just need to process that stuff so that I'm not projecting all of that stuff on the person that I'm trying to help. So we need to clean house before we try to help a self-harmer.
Okay.
And then find out why your loved one is using self-harm. Find out what it does for them. Find out when they do it. Find out what the triggers are, when they get triggered, and then focus on the real issues and not the self-harm. The self-harmer is going to want to focus on how long the cut is, how deep it is, and will want to focus on that. You want to gently steer them away from that and say, but help me to understand why you're doing this. Help me to understand what it does for you. Tell me what the triggers are, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to avoid judging our loved one for self-harming. This person already feels guilty and overwhelmed. They don't need our judgment on top of it. And if we feel overwhelmed and out of control, it's just going to make them feel twice as overwhelmed and out of control. And then we need to offer emotional support. That does not mean I approve of your behavior. That does not mean I accept your behavior. What it means is I love you, and you are not your behavior. I can draw the line between who you are and what you do. And so we support the person, not the behavior. And we spend time with the person. We listen without giving advice. This is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen without giving advice.
That's a great recommendation for not just this particular issue, but anybody that has any issues at all. You need to listen to what they have to say, because if they want to talk, let them talk, right?
Let them talk. And oftentimes they resolve it through their talking.
Mm-hmm.
They come to a place of peace through their talking. And then finally, encourage open communication. Mm-hmm. Let them be honest. Like, you know, when I teach church school, I teach junior high and high school kids, and I present a truth. At the end of the class, I do a little assessment and I ask them, well, what do you think about what we talked about today? Do you believe it? Mm-hmm. And my students know they have the freedom to say, I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
They feel safe enough to say, I'm not sure. I don't know. Well, maybe. And I always thank them for being honest, and then we can talk about it. So encourage open communication with the person you're listening to. And ask about the injuries in a gentle and understanding the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when a person comes in as a client, I do a quick scan of whatever skin is showing to see if there's bruises or cuts or burns or whatever. And I just ask in a curious way, oh, look at that big bruise on your forearm. How did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then watch for their response. So if you know someone is self-harming, you can ask, oh, wow, I see what looks like a new cut. What's that all about? And then let them open up and talk about it.
It does seem like what you're talking about mostly is parental child situations, relationships. For some reason, that's what's coming to my mind, because I find it difficult to see it's a husband. Why? Maybe it is, but I'm sensing based on the demographics you're telling me, I'm imagining a parent and a teenager.
And it could
situation.
Be peer-to-peer, too.
It could be. Okay.
It could be two college kids, one's cutting or one's self-harming, one isn't, or two junior high kids. One's self-harming, one isn't.
Okay.
Could be brother and sister. It could be any kind of combination.
Okay. Okay.
It could be a teacher. You know, a teacher and a student. Or, you know, anywhere you would encounter this, that you feel God leading you to just make an inquiry.
We are down to the final couple of minutes here. Is there anything that we failed to mention?
But I don't know if I can think of it.
We're gonna finish up this discussion and then go on to something new the next week. But self-harm, it sounds like the main things that you're talking about is with everything, with any issues that people have, is loved ones need not to be judgmental. And that is a hard thing for us to do, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's hard because we believe we have good answers, and we do have good answers. Mm-hmm. But you know, we look at Jesus in the gospel. He never had a cookie-cutter answer for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
God encounters us one-on-one and always finds a creative way of reaching us. Mm-hmm. You know, how many burning bushes are in the Bible? How many women at the well meeting Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's God knows how to reach us, and God lives inside of us, which still amazes me. I can't get over it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too amazing to think of. He will show us ways. You know, the Lord said in Luke's gospel, I will give you a mouth and wisdom. We just need to believe him and say, I need the mouth and I need the wisdom, Lord, that comes from you, not from me.
Mm-hmm.
And all we have to do is open our mouths and he will speak to the individual.
It is, the Bible is replete that when Jesus was talking to people, and he didn't go to those who had, seemed like they had their act together.
Yeah.
Seems like he spent the time with those people who didn't have their acts together.
Yes.
And that's kind of what we have here. We're talking about people with self-harm or anybody who goes to a counselor. He did talk in judgmental terms. But
the smug and the proud.
Right.
Who had all the answers.
Right. And if you don't have all, Gidi, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
We don't have all the answers, and if you do need help with any issues in your life, the Growing Place is always available. Gidi Hansen's number is 588-0448. They have other counselors there as well, and registered interns, and people who can give you help if you need it. 588-0448. You can also go to their website, which we have learned today is tgplace.org. So long, everybody.